This morning I'm going to preach to you on being connected, and I want to talk to you about that from the book of Acts. And so I invite you now to take hold of your copy of God's Word. Turn with me to that New Testament book of Acts. It's right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts. If you've gone to Romans, you've gone too far. And once you get to Acts, turn to chapter 2 and verse 40. And it's very interesting that this message is coming at a very significant time. It's the birthday of the church. Whenever I was talking to Emma about baptizing her this morning, she told me that tomorrow is her mom's birthday, so I think we ought to all tell Lindsay Carnes, happy birthday. Ready? Happy birthday. But if you'll just take a left-hand turn in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, you will see that this whole story I'm telling you today happened on a very special day. And it mentions that it was the day of Pentecost. Pente means 50. And so it's been 50 days since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch this. April 20th was when we celebrated Easter in this house of worship, just 50 days ago. And so it's now been 50 days, and so today is the 50th day, or Pentecost, the birthday of the church. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, happy birthday. All right, and so we're looking at something that happened at the very beginning of the church, its first birthday, and I believe that what happened there can happen again today. And so we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 42. Now, I'm preaching to you a sermon series on our mission statement, which is come, connect, grow, go. And what we're doing as First Baptist Church is inviting the people of our region to come and to worship the Jesus who has saved our souls and who has given us life with meaning. And I want to commend you for coming today to worship Jesus with us. Now, notice this. Once you have come to worship the Jesus who saves and who gives life with meaning and purpose, the next step is to connect. To connect with Him in a special way. If you've not been saved, I pray that you'll be saved today. And then if you've been saved but you don't have a connection with a local church, I pray that you will connect with a Sunday school class here. We have some of the best Bible teachers in the entire region here. I hope you'll find a class that fits for you. And then once you've fit in a Sunday school class, come and connect with us here at First Baptist Church as a member. And so come, connect, grow, and go. Many of you know the name James Dorsey. James Dorsey is the co-founder of Twitter and Square, and he recently made this quote, "Life happens at intersections." And by that statement, he understands that important connections are made at crossroads. Life happens at intersections. And it could be that on this day, at the intersection of College and West Washington Street, here on this campus at First Baptist Church, you will make a connection with God and His people here at First Baptist Church. Much like the people did in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. There were a lot of people who had gathered there to celebrate this Jewish feast. And on that day, people from literally all over the known world had come, and their lives intersected at the crossroads as Peter preached the first sermon ever heard by the church. And I want to show you that over in Acts 2, verse 40. He's just finished preaching his sermon, and look at what the response was beginning in verse 40. It says, "And with many other words, he," that's Peter, "testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved." That word saved is a very important word, because there are a lot of people that I preach to here in this building and by internet and by TV that have never, ever been saved. And so Peter had a very important message. He said, be saved from this perverse generation. Now look at verse 40 at the response. Then those who gladly received the word. Now see, you've come here today. I've got the word open. I'm preaching the word. And you've got one of three choices on how you can respond to the preaching of this word today. You can get angry about it. Sometimes people do get angry. Jesus is a stumbling block. The gospel is a stumbling block. Or you can just be apathetic about it. Boy, I can't wait till this message is over. What, about 30 more minutes? Or you can be like these people. When they heard the message from the Word of God, the Bible says in verse 41, then those who gladly received His Word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. What a wonderful birthday for the church. That word baptized is a very interesting word in the original language of the Bible. It literally means to immerse or submerge. That's what it means. And in Bible days, whenever you were speaking the Greek language and you were talking about a ship that had sunk down to the bottom of the ocean floor, you would say that it was baptized. And so scriptural baptism is for believers, those who have been saved, those who have gladly received God's word, and it is by immersion. It's not by pouring, it's not by sprinkling. Every time you see the word baptize in the New Testament, it's always after someone has believed in Christ, and it's always by immersion. It is always by being submersed. Recently, when Amy and I were blessed to go to the Holy Land, we were standing on the very temple steps where Peter brought his sermon on that Pentecost Sunday. And what a wonderful experience it was to look, and all over those temple steps were little baptistries like this one right here. You wondered, how long would it take to baptize 3,000 people in one day? Not very long, because they have little baptistries like this. And notice the steps down into the baptistry. A very clear indication that they weren't sprinkled, they weren't poured upon, they were immersed. Now, our baptistry doesn't have moss on it like this does. You can ask these four people that were baptized today. It's being regularly used. I used it last Sunday that I preached here. We've got more people that are awaiting baptism. It's a wonderful thing to see people come to know the Lord, to gladly receive His word, to be saved, and then to be baptized. This is the scriptural order of things, and how grateful we are for people who respond in that way. Now I want us to look at verse 41. Would you look there at verse 41 again? It says in the last part of verse 41, after these people were baptized, that 3,000 souls were added to them. Who is them? Them is the church. This was the birthday of the church on Pentecost. And so these are the very first members of the New Testament church. And the way they connected with the church is having already been connected to God through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and then joining the church by being baptized. And that's the same way that people connect with the church today. First Baptist Church receives members who have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and then who are willing to connect through believers' baptism. And it could very well be that I'm speaking to some people here today that already know in your heart, you know what, I need to be baptized. In a few moments, I'm going to be standing down here at the front, and we're all going to all stand together, and you're going to have the opportunity to come forward. I'll be waiting for you right down here, and we can schedule your baptism at your convenience. And I hope that you will connect with God, if you haven't already connected with Him, by being saved, and then connect with His church by being baptized. All of us need to connect with the Sunday school as well. Well, now I want you to go in verse 42. Look here at verse 42 and see something very interesting here. I've underlined a very important word in verse 42. It is the word continued. It might be constantly devoted themselves in your copy of God's word, but it says, and they continued. are constantly devoted themselves. That word continued in the original language of the Bible is in the imperfect tense in the Greek language, which means that they kept on doing this. This wasn't a one and done deal where, they came when they felt like it or just when the mood hit them and they would just do it ever so often. No, these people were so excited about their connection with the Lord Jesus Christ that it was a daily habit. They continually, it says, did four things. And these are the four things that we need to do if we're going to be connected properly with God and with His church. The first thing says, in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching. It was so important to these new believers to know what God's word had to say to them that they didn't just ever so often, but they continually were in the word as the leaders of the church were teaching them what God had to say to them and how they could live an effective life for the Lord. Now, that's a way that we get a stronger connection with God and a stronger connection with each other. It's so sad that there's so many Christians that are on their way to heaven who are not doing this. The Bible says they're like babes that can't tolerate meat to eat. They just have to drink milk because they're babes in Christ. There are people in this church and any other church that have been saved for maybe 10 years, 20 years, 40, 50, 60 years, who have never gotten into constantly and continually devoting themselves to the study of God's Word. This is it for them. They show up at 10:50 on Sunday morning and they don't come to Sunday school. They never crack a Bible the rest of the week and they're still babes in Christ. I pray that you'll be like these first century Christians, that you'll grow a stronger connection with God and a stronger connection with each other through the serious study of God's Word. That's why we have Sunday school classes here at First Baptist. At 9:40 each Sunday morning, we have classes for every age group, and I invite you to come and join one of those classes. Check out one of those classes, and that way you'll be well on your way to connecting with God through the study of His Word. But go on here with me, and I want you to see something else. I want you to see the rest of verse 42, where it says that these people who were fellowshipping around God's Word were also fellowshipping with each other. Do you see it there in verse 42? Look at it. It says, and they continued steadfastly or constantly devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship. Fellowship is so vitally important to us. We need each other. It strengthens us. You know, you can go to Yellowstone National Park, and if you just hit it just right, you can find herds of buffaloes there. And they're always in herds. But every now and then, you will see a bison that gets the bright idea that he doesn't need the herd. He's strong enough, he's broad enough that he can handle it by himself. I don't want to be slowed down by this herd. And so he gets over here by himself thinking, man, I'm one of the biggest creatures out here in Yellowstone National Park. I don't need the herd. And any park ranger can tell you that the buffalo that separates himself from the herd opens himself up to be prey, not only to the weather, but to predators that are out there. And there's all kinds of Christians that think they can do it by themselves. They don't need the church. But friend, you need the church. Fellowship strengthens you. It encourages you. It is an absolute joy to have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's also a means of accountability. And you know what? Every one of us in this building need to be accountable to other Christians, especially me. We all need the accountability that comes from fellowship with other believers. The writer of Hebrews thought this was so important that he said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Can I just commend you today for not only coming to worship the Jesus that has saved us and made our lives meaningful, but you have also come in the fellowship of these believers. You're not a Lone Ranger Christian, and in doing that, God is strengthening you. He is encouraging you, and He's providing a means of accountability. Well, let's go on here in verse 42, and let's see the next word, because they not only continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, but in verse 42 it says that they continued in the breaking of bread. Now, what is the breaking of bread that's being spoken of there? Well, it's the Lord's Supper. And many times we call the Lord's Supper communion. You know why we call it communion? Because we're not only having communion with God through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, as we partake of these symbolic elements, but we're also having communion with each other. And so many times we neglect that part of our lives. I just want you to ask yourself, when's the last time I had communion? When's the last time I had the Lord's Supper? For some of us, it's been years. And I've got a wonderful opportunity for you. On Sunday, June the 22nd, we're going to be having communion right here in this worship service. I hope you'll come. And in practicing that Lord's Supper, you will enjoy the unity and the communion that Jesus purchased for us on the cross of Calvary as we are of one accord. Now, there's one other thing that the first century Christians did on the birthday of the church, and it's right here again in verse 42. Just looking at it again, it says, and they continued, or they constantly devoted themselves steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Prayer connects us with our source of power. Not that long ago, Amy and our family attended Carrie Lynn's wedding over in Milledgeville, and that was a wonderful time that we went over there. And I noticed whenever we were returning home that my Android was very low on its charge, and I said, well, that's no problem. It's a long ways from Milledgeville to Noonan. I'll just take my USB adapter and plug it in to my car's power outlet. And by the time I get to Noonan, I'll have a good strong charge on my Android. And so it was dark, and I thought I had it plugged in good. You know, it felt right. And I got all the way back to Noonan, unplugged the Android from the USB adapter and looked, and it was still just as weak as it was when I plugged it in. So I turned on the dome light, and I looked, and even though the USB adapter was in the power outlet, it was not fully engaged. And that is a picture of so many Christians. We wonder why we're so powerless, why we can't do what we want to do, the Lord calls us to do. And the reason is we are not constantly and continually devoting ourselves to prayer. That's why I put a very important website up here on the screen for you. It is www.CowitaPrayerWatch.com. I hope that you will visit that website, because there's a group of believers here in Coweta County from all kinds of different Christian churches that have said, Coweta County needs a touch of God. Coweta County needs revival. And you can go there and you can read about the goal. It is that we would pray over a 24-hour period of time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that you would sign up for a 20-minute time slot. I mean, who could not sign up for a 20-minute time slot to pray for God's Spirit to fall on Coweta County? My time slot is on Wednesdays from 12:40 to 1 p.m., and that's when I am praying during that 20-minute time slot that God would just visit Coweta County in our region in power and in might, and that we would have revival like it is rarely experienced. But you know, so often we neglect opportunities for prayer right here in our church. Every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we gather over in the historic sanctuary for a time of prayer. And starting last Wednesday night, I started right here in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And I pointed out to the group that is there Wednesday night that in the book of Acts, there are 32 occurrences of corporate prayer that are mentioned. And so over these next 31 Wednesdays, during our prayer time at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, I'm going to be talking about what happened as a result of the church getting together and praying corporately. It is so vitally important for our life. And I want you to know something else. You might not be aware of this, but right now at this very moment, there are people that are praying for you. They're praying that you would make a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you hadn't been saved, they're praying that you would trust Him and Him alone to be your Savior. Also at this very moment, there are people that are praying for those who need a connection with a local church. They are praying that God will speak to you about where He wants you to serve in a church with your life and ministry. And if it's here, we'll be so grateful for it. You know, one of my favorite movies is the Oscar-winning movie, Castaway. And in the closing scene of the movie Castaway, the character that Tom Hanks plays is standing at a crossroads in the panhandle of Texas, just a few miles from where my sister, Pamela Jo, is superintendent of schools in McLean, Texas. And he is standing there at the final scene of that movie, at this crossroads, at this intersection, trying to decide what his future is going to be. Will he go back home to Memphis, Tennessee? Or will he go north into uncharted territories as far as Canada? Or would he just stand there and not do anything? Or would he follow the road that leads to a new and possibly exciting relationship? The movie ends without us knowing the choice that Tom Hanks made. You know what? You're standing at a crossroads today. You're standing at a very important intersection. It's no accident that God has brought us together and that our lives have crossed at this very moment. This is the moment of decision. This is the time when many people will choose to either follow God or not follow Him, to connect with Him or not connect with Him, to connect with this body of believers here at First Baptist Church, or to just stand there in the middle of the intersection and not do anything about that. Jack Dorsey, co-founder of Twitter and Square, was right. Life happens at intersections, and you're at a very important crossroads today, and the choice is yours to connect with God and to connect with His church. Let's just talk to Him about it. Let's do that right now. Father, how we just thank You so much for Jesus. And Father, I pray that as we're standing at this crossroads, that You would be with those people who are trying to decide, what do I do? Where do I go? Father, that You would just give them the strength and the faith to make a connection with You if they've never done it. Father, for those who've already made a connection with You, but they're looking and praying about a connection with the church, Father, if You're leading them here today, we pray that they just put a step of faith out in front of them and they would come and be connected today. And Father, as You do all these things, we'll give You the praise for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.